Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I've been waiting to get this guy on the show for some time. Former Washington quarterback, former NFL quarterback, college football analyst for Fox, radio host on 710, the ESPN station in Seattle. Brock Heward joining us now. I appreciate you making time, man.
John, you may have been looking forward to this, but I'm going to guess a bunch of your listeners right now just flipped the dial.
No.
I don't like them Hewards. I don't like them Huskies, but for some reason they still think every time I do an Oregon game, I'm somehow against them, which I'm not, and they had a phenomenal year, and in fact, just got done having a fun lunch with a few Huskies and talking about what the Ducks are doing and how, you know, Mario set a course here where I think everyone's going to be playing a little bit of catch up for some time.
One of the weird things that I think is going on, and we'll get to the Pac-12, but I think given that the revenue isn't there for the Pac-12 members, I think a school like Oregon or a school like Washington or Utah is sort of an outlier now where, you know, you've got great donor base, great support from season ticket holders, maybe a little more immune to what's going on inside the conference.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And then obviously, you know, with Phil Knight's contributions and his commitment through the years and the decades to Oregon, I don't think there is any debate about it. And John, and I know why, you know, you reached out today and why I think it's a great time to talk, to see, you know, Mel Tucker leave in the middle of the night and be out of this conference after just one season, on the heels of Chris Peterson stepping down, on the heels of Mike Leach heading to Mississippi State, and what I think is a fairly lateral move as far as programs go, but certainly not as far as all it goes. Yeah, I mean, you add all of those things up, and the state of this conference, as you have written about, as you have researched, as you've been as passionate about as anybody, this is not a good spot at all that the conference finds itself in right now.
One of the things that bothers me, Brock, is that I feel like you and I and a lot of fans that are listening care more than maybe the CEO group. And maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I keep waiting for them to do something to fix this, and all I keep seeing is no action.
John, I taped a podcast with I'd have to include one other person, that'd be John Wilner, in this conversation, because I think you and John have been at the front of the line down with the San Jose Mercury News, two guys that anybody in this conference should and has to read consistently to stay in the loop. You two have been front and center in this, along with, you know, I'm glad you put me as a voice in here that's passionate about it, because I am. But I taped a really long podcast with John this morning, Wilner, and I just said, hey, listen, like, enough is enough. I mean, you call it the CEO group, I call it the presidents. I want those 12 presidents to be just to be transparent. You know, I watched this NFL game over the weekend, and I'll do so again this weekend, and one of the beauties of it was the outright transparency of the officials, the replay booth, the coaches, the players, right? You are just inundated with nothing but the transparent view, the organic view of what that game was. And I would like to hear, not from the coaches, I don't even need to hear from Larry Scott nor the ADs. I want to hear from the 12, you call them CEOs, you know, I want the presidents. I want those 12 presidents in a town hall forum to be an open book as far as what they believe, where they believe the conference is, what they're going to do about the gap that is only widening between them, the SEC, the Big Ten, and the challenge it's putting their programs in because of it.
I love that. They've been silent. They kind of hide behind, well, this is the decision of the conference, but we're not getting a lot of action. I love that. And I reached out to the Pac-12 today. They don't want Larry Scott on this show. The CEO, nope. I talked to the presidents, I talked to the chancellors, and you know, they want to speak with one voice. That's their thing. Well, I think you're right. I think it's a time. I think so many people just want to hear that even they're frustrated.
Yeah, but even just, okay, let me know. At least let me know so I can digest it. At least let me hear you say it. You know this, John. Talking to a lot of these ADs in this conference, the constant conflict they find themselves in with Upper Campus. You know that there's some of these campuses don't really care. Don't really care and don't think there's much merit to a football program. You know, I remember years ago when I started at ESPN doing games, I had a Vanderbilt game early when they started to turn in. James Franklin started to turn in Vanderbilt after all of these years of being atrocious. All of a sudden got good. And you know what it did to their applications? You know what it did to their university? Ask Chris Peterson what football meant to Boise State in that program. Ask Pat Fitzgerald in that facility they built in Northwestern, where there's been an immense amount of wealth for years, but until they got good and relevant in football, there weren't people paying $100 million to build an unbelievable facility on the lake. So I would just love to hear from these 12 presidents, and even if it is fingernails on a chalkboard, like, oh, how can you say that? At least it's out there. And to not be out there and to not be transparent right now, I think causes even more of this angst.
Talking to Brock Heward, former Washington quarterback, former NFL quarterback, and analyst with Fox Radio Show in Seattle. Mel Tucker, let's focus on him for a second because he's there 1 year. A lot of people crowing about loyalty. I don't really blame the guy. You paying him twice. He sees the resources. I say bless you. It's not ideal, but bless you. What do you say to Mel Tucker?
I say, as I did to a couple folks that I know that are very passionate Colorado fans when they were really upset that he even interviewed, I said, I'm sorry, if you were in his shoes and you were looking at your employer, where would you rather work? Would you rather work at that store or would you rather work at that store? Would you rather work for that company that pays you that or would you rather work for that company that pays you X with benefits and with bonuses and the ability to retain great people around you and empower bringing more great people around you and to double your pay? I mean, this isn't about the University of Colorado. This is about the Pac-12 conference. And this is exactly the kind of challenges when you have the revenue shortfalls that you do, that Michigan State, who is desperate, can say, okay, Mel, what's your number? And actually, they don't talk to Mel anymore. They talk to his agent and say, what's your number? Okay, well, if you were to do this outrage, it's good. Done. Let's go. You're here. You know, I had a friend of mine whose spouse was hired back east at a major publication, and they were like, oh, I don't really want to go. I like it here. Life's here. And that major company said, what's your number? And two spouses talk, and they say, well, if they were to do this, and guess what they did? They did that. And that is what the folks in East Lansing did to Mel Tucker. And I'm sure that Colorado had a chance to respond. I mean, what do you think, John, when that number came and here it is, here's the deal. Can you guys match? Can you come close to matching? You know what the answer was, and that answer was no. And we can't. And, you know, God bless you for trying for 1 year at Colorado.
Yeah, I look at the amount of money that Michigan State is paying. When you talk about D'Antonio's bonus, $4.3 million, you talk about, you know, bringing in Tucker, paying the assistant coaches. We're talking like $15 or $17 million that they're out of pocket, and they haven't even played a game yet.
Yep. But how many millions are coming their way this last year, and how many are coming the next 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 year? Is there locked into those deals? And probably even more the next time that deal is up, because I'm sure the folks I work with at Fox are absolutely loving their relationship with the Big Ten. And after Disney got the rights to the SEC, I think that will be only an up arrow as far as the commitment that will be made to that conference and those institutions who get amazing ratings, who have amazing fan bases. You know, my favorite game this year was Iowa-Minnesota. And to go back to Iowa City and to see a jam-packed stadium. And the minute you get off that plane, you know it's the epicenter of that entire weekend in the course of events. And it's bigger than life as it was in Minnesota, as it is in Columbus, as it is in Ann Arbor, as it is in Happy Valley. I mean, that's where they're at. And we could go through the same thing in the SEC. And unfortunately, that just, you know, it kills me. It just burns me as a Pac-12 guy that where do we find that today in this conference? Maybe in Eugene. I was there twice this year. It was absolutely electric. It was an awesome scene to beat Cal and blow out Colorado. But where else are we sensing that? Where else are we seeing that? Where else do we feel that? In Utah this year, amazing. Can they do it again next year? Probably not. So, you know, that, you know, yeah, this is a long conversation. You know it.
Yeah.
That's why you write multi pieces about it and get to talk about it every day, because it's a constant conversation.
You know, there's part of me, too, that goes, okay, you're hammering on this thing. Maybe you should give it a rest. Maybe the people on the outside don't care as much. But then I start hearing from them. And Brock, I hear you. You care about this. I can tell it means more to you than just as a broadcaster. Why do you care so much about the Pac-12?
Because I grew up in it, John. Because I'm the son of a coach. My dad is a Hall of Fame high school coach. And my Saturdays in my youth were listening to Keith Jackson and watching the 91 Huskies go play in Strawberry Canyon against Mike Pulaski and Keith Gilbertson in a jam-packed place with people crawling on the hillside that couldn't get enough of it. Right? It was watching Terry Donahue and UCLA and Troy Aikman. It was watching USC and their stars. It was watching, right before my eyes, the University of Oregon emerge and grow as a dominant program in this conference. It was watching Pete and USC in the 2000s be, you know, the epicenter of college football and to be a game changer. And that was all real. This isn't 50 or 60 years ago, right? This is in my lifetime, and this was just a decade ago. And to see how far that gap right now is widening, and you wonder just how you're going to possibly close it, and that's just, yeah, it's part of my lifeblood, and it will certainly continue to be part of the conversation for me.
I love your idea about getting a town hall, because I think part of the problem a decade ago when this all was put in motion was you had the presidents and chancellors that viewed sports as kind of something that was happening over there. And they weren't really looking at a comparison between the SEC and the Big Ten. And they negotiate their deal and they were ecstatic. Oh, we're getting money. We're getting money. Okay, we'll give up all these rights. And they didn't view it through the prism of, hey, this is a business deal. We need to be really shrewd with our distribution and our rights, and we need to leave ourselves flexibility. And we're in the driver's seat because we have the inventory. They weren't thinking that way.
Yeah, and I was also, John, grew up in the Seattle area, and I watched University of Washington program in the 80s and the 90s, and watched what was built there. And then all of a sudden, a new AD came in from Southern California, Barbara Hedges, that had a different mindset than the predecessor. And all of a sudden, the conference came down, and they hammered this school. And Don James was looking for the support of the people around him and looking for the support of his new AD and was not getting it, and ultimately walked away and watched an AD that was committed. Oh, football will be fine. Oh, we don't have to take care of the stadium. Oh, we don't have to take care of that. Football will take care of itself. No, it doesn't. Football doesn't take care of itself. You know, being in L.A. and being in the Bay Area and being in Portland and Seattle and Phoenix doesn't take care of itself. These are major markets. Doesn't take care of itself in today's college sports, in the landscape of big-time college football today. And, you know, at some point, that lesson's got to be learned. If you just simply look at the numbers now, and very, very bright people on upper campuses, and they are very bright people, should be able to see how daunting these numbers are right now.
We're talking to Brock Heward, former University of Washington star, NFL quarterback, Fox analyst, radio show host, and a guy who loves the Pac-12. How about Washington? We spent a lot of time talking about Oregon, but Jimmy Lake at Washington, I think it's important for Washington, Oregon, Utah right now to be at full strength for the conference. What's Washington going to be like in the next couple years?
Well, I think Jimmy Lake was the right guy for the job at the time. You know, when Chris Peterson stepped down, I think there were many of us, and I called a few Husky games through the years. And I made the switch from ESPN to Fox, and both crews and both teams I was a part of, every time we met with Jimmy Lake, it was the same thing. That guy's a head coach. Like, you just sat with him for an hour, and you knew that guy was destined to be a head coach. Well, that destiny happened, I think, faster than he imagined, than anyone imagined, than Jen Cohen, the AD, imagined. But I think he is the right fit for that job. There will be a learning curve. I think, like a lot of us, sometimes what are our blessings can also be our curses. And he's going to have to navigate some of that as a first-time head coach with, you know, just some of his edge and some of his emotion and some of those things you can do as a D coordinator that are harder to sustain as a head coach, and now navigating all of your coaching staff and players in a different way. So there will be a bit of a learning curve. This year could be tough. I mean, this year you've got to go to Oregon. This year you've got to go to USC. This year you've got to go to Utah. This year you've got to go to Wazoo. I mean, this year the road is going to be very, very challenging. for Jimmy and for that team and for bringing in a new quarterback that is by far, a little bit like Oregon, the biggest question mark of this team moving forward.
I think if you're Oregon, too, I mean, down deep, I think Mario Cristobal likes what he's built. He says all the right things. But I think if you're Oregon's administration, you have to be working today thinking, okay, how are we going to play defense when an SEC school or a Big Ten school comes after Cristobal and offers him $8 million a year?
Yep. I don't think there's any question about that. And, you know, the beauty of a lot of this, John, is that there are 8 days in September that are going to be monumental on the field for this conference. Washington gets to host Michigan. USC gets to play Alabama down in Arlington in what hopefully is not a bloodbath and an injury-riddled game. And then I think a team from Columbus comes your way, I believe. I think Ohio State comes down to Eugene. And in 8 days, there's going to be some monumental football stuff on the field. Yes, that I think will further define these conversations, but you're absolutely right. If you've got a good one, and you've got a, I'll also say Andy Avalos, not even Mario Cristobal, but a young up and comer like an Andy Avalos, you got to make sure you're doing what you can as a staff to keep him there, because that guy is a difference maker, and he showed it in his very first season in Eugene.
Brock Heward, I appreciate you. I know you're busy, and I appreciate the time you gave us. Thank you, and thank you for your passion.
Yeah, you too, John. You keep it up, man. If we all go quiet, you know, and all pretend like everything is fine, there's not going to be solutions, and there has to be some solutions to the challenges right now.
Love that. Brock Heward, there he is, Fox analyst, NFL quarterback, former Washington star, now advocate. I like his idea. I like sort of fleshing out the presidents and chancellors, who are known as the CEO group, and making them speak, not as a group. Hey, individual. And I've talked to several of them individually. In fact, the other day, maybe 6 weeks ago, I'm driving. I'm going down to Corvallis. And I think I told this story. I went, you know, I'm about to get on the freeway. I'm stopped at the stop sign. You know, you're going to make a right-hand turn, then you're going to get onto the freeway. And I thought to myself real quick, hey, I'm sitting here at a standstill. I should just shoot Dr. Edward Ray a quick email, ask him if we could maybe get together and talk. He's on the CEO group. He's one of the presidents. Where does he stand? He's old guard. I know he's leaving in June, but he's still a president. He's still in this room. And even though I've been critical of him, I always have found him to be fair. He can punch. He can take a punch. He can give a punch. He's that kind of guy. He's a little old school that way. I rather like the guy for that. So I pull out my phone. I open up his contact, and I'm going to press, like, his email address to shoot him a quick email. Just be like, hey, could we have a chat today? And in that moment, the light goes from red to green, and the cars in front of me start to move, and I went to put the phone down, but I accidentally hit the FaceTime button. It's like 7:30 in the morning. All of a sudden, in horror, I realize I'm FaceTiming University President Dr. Edward Ray, and I very quickly canceled out of it. You ever do that, Adriana? You ever do that? This is kind of a you expert area.
Yeah, that's happened.
How quickly can you cancel out, and what is that like?
I mean, it happens pretty quickly, but also it happens to me a lot because my name starts with an A, and I'm usually at the top of people's phone books.
You get that Ed Sheeran, the A-Team playlist thing going.
Right.
It's always the song that comes up for me. I canceled out. And I was like, okay, maybe it didn't ring on his end. I'm now entering the freeway, and all of a sudden, he's FaceTiming me back. I'm getting a FaceTime. I'm like, is he going to be in a robe? Is he getting ready? Is he shaving? Like, because it's pretty early. And so Edward Ray and I are now FaceTiming. And I'm going, hey, I'm headed down. Maybe want to have a conversation. And he pretty much told me he just wasn't in a frame of mind to have anything to say about the Pac-12 conference. he didn't like some of my reporting because it makes them look like they're asleep at the wheel. And I think they are asleep at the wheel, or they were when they made the deal. I mean, frankly, I don't think they were thinking about distribution. I don't think they were thinking about beyond getting the original checks, you know, the first 3 years of that deal. They weren't thinking, what is this going to look like in a decade? What, you know, are we selling ourselves short? Do we have ourselves protected for distribution? Are we sure we can get the network on DirecTV? These are all things that should have been included in the original contract, and they were not, because the Pac-12 leaders are not a media company. They didn't know what they were doing. They acted like a media company. They pretended they were a media company. They had a cool logo. They had some cameras. They had a network. And hey, but when it came to negotiating a deal, they weren't thinking about things that TV people think about, like distribution. Hey, we need a guarantee that these games will be, the network will be on DirecTV. We cannot sign this deal unless we have a guarantee. So he didn't want to talk. We agreed another day, another time. And I was appreciative that he didn't embarrass me for me FaceTiming that early in the morning. Got a few of those. I don't answer them generally. I don't want to see you when I'm talking to you. You kids, you do that now. You guys are all FaceTimers, aren't you?
Yeah, we love to FaceTime.
Why? What is that? I don't want to see. You don't want to see me?
Because it's like a voicemail for like videos, you know, like instead of just talking on the phone. It's more personal, I think.
Maybe. But there's, isn't part of being on the phone that you can be just about to get in or out of the shower, take a call, and you can make it sound like, you know, you're fully dressed, you got a suit and a tie on. You FaceTime me and I pick that up? You know.
But that's why, I just lost my point, but.
That's all right. It's better, early in the show, you got some grief, because early in the show I said, what about Christmas cards? You said, I'm good. What about Disneyland? I'm good. You were kind of in an I'm good mood today.
Mm-hmm. Pretty level.
FaceTime. I'll have to try that. Who do you FaceTime? Like your buddies, or are you FaceTime with?
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Okay. Sorry. I was going to say, most of the time, we only FaceTime people that it's like casual, like our best friends or people. I FaceTime people that live in Birmingham, like that I can't see in real life. So, and you wouldn't have to present yourself in any professional way.
So it's people you're not worried about what they're going to think.
Yeah, no. Because you don't get all dressed up for the FaceTime.
I don't know that I would do that with my brother. I think it would be weird. Do guys not do this?
I FaceTime with my sister at least once a week.
Peter, when's the last time you FaceTimed?
I've only done it with my son.
Right.
It's good to see him.
That's normal.
Yeah.
I think that might be a guy-girl thing. Another difference. Another reason why you guys are going to live longer. Men, we're hosed. We have no friends. We don't socialize. That's why we die younger. Leave it here. You got the BFT. Telling you, the Pac-12's got a problem. Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports columnist, weighing in today. He wrote, is the Pac-12 still a Power 5 conference? Yeah, it's got a problem. And in theory, the Pac-12 is considered an equal. But out on the streets, it is a mid-major? And that's what Wetzel wrote, and I think it's a fair question to ask and debate. I think you can unwind what's happened, but I appreciate the guests on today's show. It's been great discussion. John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News was with us. Brock Heward, formerly of the NFL and the University of Washington, was with us. A lot of phone calls on the subject. I think a lot of fans are upset about it. I think a lot of fans also are feeling a little bit beat down by it. Because I think it makes a fan feel helpless. Am I right in saying that? If you're out there listening, because you don't have the solution. You don't. You just want your teams to be competitive. You just want your teams to be good. You don't want to have to figure out the tax code. You just want to go to the mailbox and pick up your return and say, "Oh, there's the refund I got." So the Pac-12 has left us in a position where we're all scrambling to understand the tax code, and good luck with that. So it's not fun. I have a pile of letters in front of me. Open the mail, and you can always write me a letter if you can find my address, but bless you. Peter, can you describe for our listeners what I am holding in my hands here?
That is a jumbled pile of, I would say, 13 to 20 various pieces of mail.
Handwritten.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
People writing me letters. I'm going to share some of these. I'll read some mail coming up. Also, we'll talk about...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.